What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Pirate Fest happened this weekend. I was listening intermittently to my friend Dan Zangrilli doing some wonderful interviews. I heard Brian Reynolds. I heard some of Shelty. I know there are a lot of people that Dan talked to. So we figured we would talk to Dan. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob and I and Limits here were talking about the fact that we thought that Bob Nutting absolutely should have gotten in front of the fans, Dan. But I'm curious from your perspective, give me two or three moments in any of your interviews that stood out to you.
Well, I think Friday night when we talked to McCutcheon and Skeens, Joe, that was obviously the two most important people that you want to talk to from a player perspective as it pertains to the Pirates. Skeens, obviously, but McCutcheon, the last, I want to say, 3 to 4 minutes of our interview were centered around why he was bullish on the team. And I think there's plenty of reasons to say, okay, this went wrong, and you have a laundry list of things as to why your glass should be half full, and maybe two or three as to half empty as opposed to two or three as to why it should be half full. And, you know, McCutcheon went on a little bit of a diatribe, and I think in a very politically savvy way said that we don't have the leadership that we need in our clubhouse, and it's going to be incumbent upon me to take a much larger role because I'm otherwise wasting my time. I've made all the money that I could make in my career, and I'm making a great sacrifice with my time away from a young, growing family that if I'm going to go ahead and commit to this, we've got to be able to do something meaningful. And he sees the ability for something meaningful to happen, but it is missing that one piece, and it is a clear leader that I don't know if it necessarily has to be a singular voice. McCutcheon said otherwise, but there needs to be a prominent voice to, I guess, beat the drum. And this is how we're going to go about our business. Or when things are going awry, who is going to step up? And in whatever form or fashion of leadership you need, whether it's by example, whether it's somebody to flip a table, whether it's somebody to put your arm around somebody, they have, obviously, and I think it was absolutely apparent last year, they didn't have that person. And McCutcheon is not that person, right, from just his personality dynamic and makeup, but he essentially vowed to me, and he said that, I'm looking around the room here, I'm not necessarily sure that anybody else has done it or done it effectively, so I've got to be that guy, based on who I am, what I've done in this game, what I know, and really what I'm capable of. And he has been a bit of a wallflower, right? There's a bit of a generational gap, right? You've got a otherwise younger team, and he's 38 years old. 15, 16 years is a Grand Canyon as far as, you know, one's a TikTok generation, another's a Facebook generation. So that's a big, big chasm. So he's going to be the adult in the room from what it sounds like. And now that Paul Skeens is in year number two, I think he's also going to speak up quite a bit. And, you know, when that voice, of course, is raised in the Pirates clubhouse, that has the opportunity to make a big-time difference because they were without it. They were a rudderless ship at times last year. And it was refreshing to hear, encouraging to hear, especially from McCutcheon, because if anybody is to do it, I think he's the guy that needs to do it for all of the obvious reasons. And the fact that he's stepping out of his comfort zone, it's another thing that he's given to the city.
Why wouldn't he have stepped out of his comfort zone last year?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. That's just never been his deal, never been his thing. Even when they were winning in, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, it was more of an A.J. Burnett, Russell Martin clubhouse. Neil Walker, I think, had more of a vocal role on those teams. And I think he's never done it because he's never needed to. And when you're not comfortable doing something, you tend not to do it, or you leave it to other people, or you try to do something a certain way. But he obviously sees a void and a need and nobody else stepping up. So he, I guess, better late than never, to your point, Joe, is stepping to the forefront saying that he's going to be the guy this year.
Anybody else say anything that really jumped out to you? How about Skeens?
I mean, it's a far more comfortable guy, you know, in his skin as a leader, I think. You know, you come in to sport and in a locker room when you're a rookie, you sort of want to earn your stripes, look around, read the room, feel the room out a little bit before you start just coming in with a big brass pair and asserting this, that, or the other thing. Because when you do that without essentially having done anything in your particular sport, that's gonna lead to a lot of eye rolls. That's gonna lead to a lot of division. But clearly, he now has accomplished quite a bit. He's a Cy Young finalist. He's an NL Rookie of the Year, and he accomplished a great deal in a very short period of time. So he's definitely earned that. And I think what he told the reporters as well, he seemed really sick and tired of, in his words, pissing away victories last year.
I love that quote.
It was great. And that's exactly what that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what needed to be said. And he was the guy that needed to say something like that in the manner and tone with disgust in his voice.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that needs to happen with this team. And based on what McCutchen told me on Friday, Skeens to a certain extent, though not that, not in great detail, and then he doubled down on it yesterday with reporters. I think those two guys, that was my biggest takeaway, that they realize the shortcomings in leadership. I mean, there's all, you know, whether you need a right fielder, whether you need this, that, or that, they can't control that. What they can control is who's at the wheel, who's setting the tone, who's setting the culture. And I don't mean to call people out directly here because it's just not their thing. But, you know, maybe Andrew McCutchen was, going back to your earlier question, Joe, maybe he was waiting for, because maybe it's Mitch Keller's clubhouse. Perhaps Keller should be doing that sort of thing. Perhaps Reynolds should be doing that sort of thing. Perhaps Key Brian Hayes should be doing that thing. I'm just an older guy that's coming back to Pittsburgh to be in a supplemental, complementary role and lengthen this lineup. That's ideally what the Andrew McCutchen Pirates reunion was a couple of years ago. Not for him to come in and hit first or fourth, as he's had to do, or not come in here at 38 years old and take the wheel.
Right.
Because he's supposed to be, quote-unquote, temporary in this sequel. It's supposed to be Keller. It's supposed to be Reynolds. It's supposed to be Hayes that are doing that. And he's supposed to be, you know, the old dad, you know, standing in the background with his arms crossed with a smile on his face, satisfied having left a place better than he's found it. That's the role that Andrew McCutchen should be playing. But obviously, because nobody else seems able and willing to do that, sans Skeens, then listen, if nobody else is going to step to the front, then I guess I got to do it, damn it.
Dan, were any of the concerns about the lineup and also the bullpen, which they haven't added any pieces to, addressed in some of the conversations you've had?
Not really. I think, you know, when you ask players, Austin, you know, to play general manager, that's something that they don't want to do. I think that Reynolds, in a roundabout way, talked about more consistency in the lineup. He would like to see that, just from guys hitting in certain spots and things taking shape, but they don't necessarily have anybody. There's 3 to 4 spots that have to rotate on a nightly basis based on matchups that, you know, the guy hitting fifth isn't the guy hitting fifth for 140 nights a year. Outside of Reynolds, it's really a fluctuating thing, and he did acknowledge essentially that he would like to see that change. But as far as pounding the table, you know, demanding Alex Verdugo or somebody else or an Anthony Santander signing, they don't do it, haven't done it, didn't do it on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Yeah, I guess in the end, to me, Dan, they could have all the leadership they want until they improve their roster. This is going nowhere.
That's paramount. And listen, there were things that last year were well within their control with the existing personnel. And I'm not suggesting that they don't need to add to this roster. Quite the contrary. But they were certainly able to achieve far more with the group that they had than they did. And leadership and accountability and blocking and tackling, ABCs, 1-2-3s. I mean, you lose 29 games when your starter goes six innings. You, how many times found yourself on the wrong end of a one-run game? I mean, that's one at-bat. That's one situation. The runner in scoring position, albatross that they were last year. I mean, a lot of that can be fixed internally with accountability. But that's not to say that the front office shouldn't be working and doing more, because they absolutely should. But I think the players internally, what I walked away with was 24 leaving a pretty bitter, disgusting taste in their mouth, and them being fairly ticked off about it going into 25. Looking to control what they can control.
Did you get a chance to talk to Bednar?
I actually did not, just off the side. But
do you get the feeling, did Shelty or anybody say that he is it his job to lose going in here as the closer to spring training?
I think he's the incumbent. That's the general feeling that I'm getting. Now, if he has a just awful spring training, I'm sure that's subject to change. Bednar did tell us that he is eager to get back out there because of how 24 was. And it's a pain point. It's a frustration. So he's obviously eager. But nobody suggested that, I guess, he's going into spring training pitching for his job. I will make a bold prediction, though, and say that the season ends with Kyle Nicklaus as the Pirates' closer. I will say that.
Mm. Well, Dan, thank you for taking the time. It was great stuff when I had a chance to tune in. Really good interviews. I appreciate it. And I think people can hear some of those up on our website at 937thefan.com. And hopefully people are watching out there on our YouTube channel. Can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is taking off here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll see you.
The great Dan Zangrilli. All right. Coming up next, let's get back to the NFL and a little college football. Let's talk about the national championship game and whether you think that college football is better when Notre Dame is good. Notre Dame is one of those schools that usually inspires raw emotion one way or the other. Like people generally aren't of no opinion about Notre Dame. They love them or they hate them. At least I think that's still the case.